Hi, Mr. Lane. It's Anne. I got my first paycheck today. I can't believe I'm getting paid to do what I love. I'm using what I learned in class at Virginia College every day. You were right. The hard work, it paid off.
Your passion. Together, we make it happen. Virginia College. Off Pops Ferry and Cedar Lake Road. Prepare for jobs in healthcare, computer technology, and more. Learn more at vc.edu.
All right, brothers and sisters, let's gather in prayer before the beginning of this show, News on the Flip Side, Monday edition. Lord Jesus, thank you for calming our souls. I know that so many things are about to happen tonight. I am so sorry. Please give me the strength, wisdom, and power to control myself with this crazy dude I have coming on. And please pray for Joe's speedy recovery within a week. Lord Jesus, please, in your name we pray. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you, amen. This is Lily White, and Joe is a little incapacitated tonight. Oh my God, what are we doing? What have I done? No! This is all Joe's idea. Joe, I'm gonna get back at you. You know what? Suffer. You're gonna make me suffer tonight. We have that guy that you guys know. He's not normally here. We have boyfriend number one on tonight, Michael Angley. Say hi. Oh God.
Hi, hello, hi.
Lord Jesus, pray for our souls during this dark, dark night. y'all will understand in due time. So as I said, y'all pray for Joe, send the good vibes, all that goodness, because, you know, we all got to take care of ourselves once upon a time. So he won't be joining us tonight. Instead, we've got my family.
It's just us. Talking about anything we want to talk about, man. Do you have stuff you want to talk about? Because I'm with it, man. Whatever you want to do.
This is why we were supposed to prepare before the show, because we look at the News on the Flip Side Facebook page, because there's a bunch of articles there. But it's okay. Man, we can do this. Lord of Jesus, please pray for me tonight.
This has turned into a religious show, man. So we're going to talk about the Pope and child rape in the Catholic Church.
I'm not Catholic. After I went to Catholic school, I was no longer Christian for a minute, and then I came back. So, no, we ain't talking about the Catholics.
So when you weren't Christian, where'd you go? Inquiring minds want to know.
I researched a lot of different religions. Buddhism, I have the Dharma Chakra actually as a tattoo on the back of my neck, and a lotus flower for the flower ceremony in Buddhism. But I researched a bunch of different religions, found Hinduism, and was like, oh, now that makes Christianity make sense. Let me go back over here with a new kind of existential understanding. But no, still not Catholicism. I do not worship the Great Whore of Babylon. But that's something different. That's a whole different show. You guys come here for the news, and usually Joe and I talking about racist stuff. But racial, sometimes racist and sexist.
Well, I mean, you know, I was just talking about Jesus, and
spanking,
and I said, my Jesus is a Jamaican with dreadlocks, and I got some hate mail because of it. But I still believe that, you know, and I think that you can believe anything you want, you know. I don't know. It really comes down to that belief. How about the core values inside of people's souls, that virtue? You know what I mean?
Actually, we were supposed to have one of our new hosts on the network should be joining Joe on Saturdays when the show comes back, Frank Zero. And he and I actually had a really interesting conversation the other day about religion and virtue and values and all that sort of thing, because he started talking about some Aleister Crowley, and I was like, no, because his teachings don't necessarily, apply to everyone the same. Because if you have different values or different definitions of values, like not everybody has the same definition of love and, you know, and of hurt even, and of how to exercise your will. So you're not supposed to hurt people, but do without will. That would be the whole of the law. Got a problem there, boo-boo. So, yeah, I mean, what you're saying, it could be true. And, you know, the Catholics have anonymous Christians, and they deny relative morality, all that sort of thing. But it's still, everybody has their own viewpoint and their own definition, so you really have to come to some consensus. But that's what the Pope is for. Let me dictate to you what it means. problem. That's not how that works either.
So it's not a perfect religion, because if there was such a thing, that people wouldn't even talk about anything else. All these religions are man-made religions. And then if you go back to the roots of it, even go back to Abraham, you know, before there was a Jesus, or before there was a Muhammad, you know what I mean? Well, you know what? But you go back in time, you know, the reality is all this stuff happened because of mankind. You know, it was mankind. Mankind makes mankind suffer. You know, so it's just really about power and control to me, the whole organized religion. If you're going to, like, you have a spiritual connection, they don't do anything for your spirit. It's more about, you know, look at the Catholic Church with their financing, and then they reinstituted indulgence, which means you can pay your way out of virtually
anything. When did they do that? No.
Oh, they did that about 5 or 6 years ago. So, I mean, you know, you can pay your way out. And that's kind of the way it goes, you know, and it's not good to me. I mean, in my view of something like that. And they're so big, they're so powerful, they're so rich, you know, how could they really be with Jesus when they have so much and he had so little, but yet his message was powerful, you know what I mean?
Literally, Jesus said, give up all your earthly belongings and follow me. And then you think he's going to come back and see the church and say, it's all God's. Well, yeah, every single thing on this earth, including you, is God's. That doesn't mean that you are supposed to be sitting here with your gold-gilded cap and your gold-gilded castle and your gold-gilded city with a bunch of cars and artwork and precious manuscripts underneath that you all hold to yourself with your own bank. Really, dude? You really think that's what I meant? Did you not see when I was whipping people for trading money in the temple? Really, dude? Did you not listen to me? No, you didn't. That's why you're over there molesting the children's, you heathens. So you have
but heathens. Jesus was not a Christian. I mean, Jesus wasn't a Christian. You know, I'm saying that there was no Christian. There was no Christian at that point. You know, but the people that followed him, the Jesus cult that started and then continued that, are they Christ-like or are they trying to achieve that goal? I mean, I haven't seen it.
You're supposed to. I mean, you're supposed to. So the purpose of, why are we, this is a news show. Anyway, you know what, we're going to talk about the good news. How about
this
that?
This is news. It's just news. It's news from 2,000 years ago, but it's news, you know. Well, it's like when the Christians came here to the United States, right? They all got together. They had their churches. They built their churches heavy in faith. They get together on Sunday. They sing. They are part of the community. They would do all that. Then they went out and slaughtered the Indians, the male, female, and children, raped them, killed them, slaughtered them, just like that. How can you be Christ-like? I can't picture Jesus doing something like that.
Preach, brother. Yeah. Once Christianity got power. Well, let's go back for a second. Yes, the followers of Jesus.
How far are we going? We're going back to King James? We're going back. How far?
We're going to what you said, referring to the early Christians, the early Christian church, you know, the ones with the Ethiopians and all around. Yeah, Judeo-Christians is what we refer to them now, because they were Jews that believed the Messiah had come, not an earthly king, which they made the mistake of before. And God wanted a king. No. God, we want a king. You're not supposed to have a king. We want a king. All right, you get one and you suffer. No, a kingdom beyond the earth. You know, everything was supposed to be. The purpose of different spiritual leaders is, yes, it's all actually a form of enlightenment, dear beautiful people. Christ consciousness is what the New Agers will call it. But, you know, it's actually pretty accurate to say it that way. Because, I mean, that's what enlightenment is for Buddhists and getting off the wheel of samsara for Hindus. I mean, it's all about reaching beyond this particular frequency, this particular vibration, this particular aspect of life. That's why Christians say we're in the world, but not of it. You know, it's like, all right, we're here. But even Hermetic teaching, Hermes Trismegistus for the rest of y'all, it's a matter of we're all part of the one, you know. You can call it universal consciousness. You can call it whatever you want. But we're all part of the one. We're all little points of the one to experience life at this stage in this way. So, yeah. You're not supposed to just kind of stay here. You're supposed to keep going. And all the different religions are different paths to that same way. The difference is what I understood after looking up Hinduism is like, oh, God and Jesus were just like, I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the way off of the wheel of samsara. You don't have to keep reincarnating. I'm going to get rid of that. You do what I tell you, in this life right now, done.
To me, it all sounds like some comic strip. You know what I mean? When it comes to, like, your connection with God, nobody should be in the middle of it. In fact, the first commandment says, put no one before me, basically. You know, it's
Jesus
just your connection.
But
you pray.
Jesus was God.
You,
Jesus was God.
But if you go, so let's say you have all these different churches, and then people go to these different churches, that's like separating, dividing. You know, it's keeping people away from one another. If you practice virtue in your soul, you can be nice and kind to whatever neighbor you have. Nobody has to label themselves. I'm a Hindu. I'm a Hebrew. I'm a Muslim. What the hell difference does it make? You know what it makes? It makes sense that it was all about power and control. And those people at the time knew exactly that they had duped others. Look at that dude. What's his name? Josh Olstein, right? This guy goes out there. Yeah, this guy goes out there and says, hey, give me $5,000 and God will reveal, your future, your plan, and your nightly prayer. You know what? Give me $5,000 and God's going to reveal this. I mean, but people do. They do. I mean, you know, you and I may laugh, but people do. And then that's the problem that I have.
People aren't actually reading the frickin' book that was given to them to actually find.
And that book talks about false prophets. And I'm talking about the Ethiopian Bible, you know. I'm not talking about the other Bible or the Greek Bible. Ethiopian Bible has the most books.
What's wrong with the Gideon Bible? Okay, so you're referring to the Ethiopian Bible that has a lot of the, you know.
I'm talking about the best translation from Aramaic into English. And then when you go back, especially when the Bible was translated by people that had an axe to grind or they had a certain direction that they wanted to push something, those people are going to be out there and then they're going to design it for their followers saying, well, look, this is the scripture and this is the deal right here. But Jesus,
for all y'all that don't believe that happens, it's the same thing that the slave owners did to slaves. They're like, we're going to take out
Jesus Christ would put his sandaled foot right up Olstein's ass and tell me that he would not.
He would literally whip him like he did the money exchangers in the temple. It's like, no, get the frick out of here.
Or would he forgive him and say, I forgive you, my son. I forgive you. Because Jesus was peaceful, right?
He whipped the money exchangers in the temple. We got to remember that. And that was after he came back. So, yeah, turn the other cheek. But see,
so
Jesus
he came back like a ninja.
Wrath is the Lord. Wrath and vengeance.
So if wrath is the Lord, why did he turn himself in? Why didn't he kick those guys' asses, man? You know, why didn't he have his people kind of just rise up or get the hell out of there to begin with? You know what I mean? Like, I'm out of here, man. I'm not going to sit around. If someone's going to come kill me, I'm not going to sit there. You know what I mean?
You had to let it play out like it did. Judah had to betray him. You had to have that redemption story, too. Blah, 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 blah. One of you will betray me tonight. Peter,
I will redeem that coupon after I die. You know what I mean? We're talking about
that's all the religion right there. That's all the religion right there. I did all the steps. I got the coupon. My soul is good here. At the gates, I'm good. I did it. I got my coupon for the afterlife.
So what do you think Hillary Clinton's religion is? What do you think
Satanism,
she prays to?
And not Leviathan Satanism. I think it's like straight, nasty, pedophilic. Her and Podesta, you know, and the Podesta emails. I think they're horrible, nasty people.
They but intercepted his emails. It did talk about black magic, you know, a lot about it.
I don't want to go there. And I really need to not go there. But honestly, if you're in power, I think negatively of you anyway. Oh, Hillary, don't take it personal. Because I believe all y'all are the same. I believe y'all go out to the little pedophile ring in Delaware and do your thing. You, Obama, Biden, I don't care. Y'all are in power. Y'all are all bad.
So check this out. Jesus stopped them by putting Trump in, man. How amazing is that?
Yeah, but see, Trump is incestuous, so they're all bad. It's all part of the plan. Trump is even in the Illuminati card game. Enough is enough! And it's literally, it looks just like his face. I'm done. It's there. Look it up.
You're done.
Clearly, I'm spouting this ridiculous nonsense.
Stick a fork in her. Stick a fork in her, she's done.
No. Well, nothing. It's a family-friendly show. Totally. Oh, yes. No, I like saying fun, ridiculous things. But honestly, if your power corrupts people. I'm not saying Obama is a pedophile. I'm just saying he ain't all good like all y'all think he is. You just have to look at the drone program. Hillary was a hawk.
I think
all of them are bad.
I think Obama's good. Is that what you just said to me?
I don't think Obama's good. He might be good in bed. But I think he's totally
in bed? I don't know, man. He had a lot of gay escapades, man. He might know how to be feminine, masculine at the same time, kind of have that thing going on. You know what I mean?
Well, a lot of people believe Michelle is his tranny lover, and the kids are.
There's a lot of pictures of her with. There's a lot of pictures of her with a penis. A lot. You know what I mean? I mean, like, you know, one or two, maybe some Photoshop, but I'm talking about a lot. And she got some junk in the trunk, man.
As a female, certain clothes bunch like that at the crop and crotch and make it look like.
As a male, I look at Michelle like she's very masculine. She doesn't turn me on. You know what I mean? She's very, very masculine.
That's why they killed Obama. Like she put out the secret.
Barack, I think, is the feminine one. You can see it. I mean, you know, that's just their relationship. It's not a bad thing. You know, I mean, I'm saying like there's a lot of people who have those traits.
We have a misunderstanding here. Just because people are gay doesn't mean there's a male and a female, and doesn't mean female equals.
Who said gay?
Like,
who said gay?
Talking about.
I didn't say gay. You're the one saying Michelle's transitioning, not me.
I didn't say transitioning because they've got it all mixed up now.
They're going to hunt you down. You know what? You're in D.C., man. I'm in Ithaca, nowhere. They can't even find me where I am. I'm out in the woods.
Mike, you forget.
Try to find me, mofos.
They'll find you, honey. They know exactly where you are. No. But no, we got to run away together. You forgot about that. We're going to do that. We're going to get out of here. Mm-hmm.
I already ran. I'm already there. When people are like, "Hey, man," when people tell me that I should head to the hills, I'm like, "I'm in the hills." I'm like, "If I head out anymore, I'll be in Toronto or something."
I
don't want to be in Toronto.
Where you're at? Just let them know exactly where you're at, bro. They didn't already know.
I'm gonna go to Canada as a refugee. I decided. I'm gonna get citizenship there. Why not?
What kind of skills do you have? Because it is merit-based immigration.
I can smack some ass. That's my skill. And you know what? People need that.
Are we allowed to say that word? I don't think so. I think that's 100.
Which one? Smack?
Mine, Mike.
Which word? Smack some or ass?
That's $250,000 fine for you, Mike.
If Jesus told me to smack some ass, it's religious, and there's nothing they can do about it, man.
$375,000 fine for
Mike. I'm going to light one of those candles. You know they got those candles with Jesus on it? They got to have one to smack some ass. I'm going to light that. I'm going to smack some ass. I swear to God. See?
I'm just counting. Joe, the bill's gonna come to you first. Can you at least let me know?
There ain't no referee, baby. It's me and you in this room. That's it.
We wouldn't be a referee if we were alone together.
Uh-oh. That water bed be flopping, man. I know it.
You don't do that. Don't do that.
Stop sexually harassing me and let's talk about Hillary Clinton, man, because she's out there. I mean, she's nuts. She's not nuts.
You knew exactly what to say for a boner killer. And yeah, she's out. I'm so sick of her. I'm so sick of her. I don't know what to do. Stop whining. Stop complaining. Stop blaming everybody.
Oh, no.
Your mistakes.
Did you hear the
loss.
New one? The new one is when someone asked her if she's going to contest the election or call the illegitimate election to have it investigated. She says she won't rule it out. So this is a person who said, whatever the election results are, I'll abide by it and I'll go and whatever. And man, she's off the wall. I mean, talk about sore loser, you know, and there's nothing they could do. They already have an investigation going on with Mueller, and I don't know where that's going. Then they just said that they found out he works for Flynn. It's like, really? So he worked for Flynn, but he's investigating Flynn. You know, it's like all these dudes are hooked up like the mafia. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Mueller, like myself, we're registered Republicans, but he incorporated all these Democratic lawyers. you know, the ones that worked with Hillary, blah, blah, donated to the Dems. So I'm just like, right. That actually kind of looks good. The lead is Republican, but I'm going to get y'all Dems to do the work. And so it's mixed. It's not quite right. But at the end of the day, I'm just so done with freaking Hillary. I don't know.
As an investigator, I'll tell you this. I've worked with police agencies where they had a warrant to you know, go into a certain suspect's whatever computers, their home sometimes, whatever. And those warrants are very specific. If you give somebody an open warrant, they can do whatever they want to do. And this guy's a federal investigator now with an open warrant. He can come after you and me. Sounds stupid. This guy's got an open warrant. So wherever he thinks that investigation will lead, he'll go. But it's a witch hunt now, isn't it? I mean, he's into finances. He's into, you know, businesses, subsidiaries, or who did what. Wow, man. If you investigated Hillary, Hillary would be in jail for 100 years.
God, that's part of the problem. Like, you know, I'm surrounded by Democrats over here, down here still for now. Very soon, y'all will get out of here. But they ignore the, you know, because I also know people that worked with Hillary. They ignore her blatant, obvious violations of security protocol and her violations of the law. Then when it comes to Trump, when I'm sitting over here like, lock her up, they're just like, ugh. But when it comes to Trump, they're like, lock him up. And I'm like, they both need to be in jail. Y'all don't realize that they both need to be in jail. We had.
What'd Trump do? What did he do to you?
What did he do to me? I'm not his type. That's what Bill would have done to me. Trump likes the skinny minis. Like, if it's me and Christina and it's Trump and Bill, Bill would have came after me. Trump would have went after Christina. He would have pussy grabbed Christina and Bill would have, I don't know. It's not Cosby, so he wouldn't have drugged me. He just would have tried to seduce me, but he could because it's Bill. What's up with that saxophone,
hey, man.
Bill?
No. He's, you know, I hate to say he's got little hands. You know what that means, right?
All of that has been disproven. What are you talking about, Trump? I don't want to defend him, but all of that has been disproven.
He's got those little fingers.
That's not, kid-friendly show. Kid-friendly show self. Kid-friendly show.
You know what? I think he's one of the most insecure individuals I've ever seen. I don't care. Oh, he's successful TV. He's a billionaire. It's probably what makes him famous to begin with is that insecurity because it makes him work at.
It's the drive.
Exactly.
You know. It's the drive. Let me tell you something.
Yeah, you know.
Absolutely ridiculous. So one of my exes who knows exactly who they are if they were listening
How many exes do you have?
Recently? Very few.
Like it was like a baker's dozen or something, you know. The fans want to know. You know, I just got a message from a fan saying they want to know how many exes that you have. See that?
Well, see, I wasn't always fat before I had my kid. Before I had my kid, I was nice. So.
Plump is nice. I'll tell you that.
Fat now? No. We ain't gonna pretend. I used to be plump, thick, whatever, nice. I used to be thick and curvy. It was nice. I was happy. Now I'm fat. We ain't going to not freaking fat now. So before then.
Oh, wait. I'm getting a message from Hillary Clinton. She said, I think you should smack some ass. that was Bill Clinton. I'm sorry, man.
There's a lot more to smack now. Way more than I needed. Christina can take some and she'll still be all right. I still got some to spare. Anyway, so one of my exes, severely insecure, narcissistic, sociopathic liar. All right? And I told him, I was like, no. I told him, I was like, you know, you're a lot like Trump. And he's like, yeah, I can see that. What? You admitted to it? Do you not see how horrible that person is? So, yes, absolutely. Insecure, lying, narcissistic, sociopath. That is what the two of them are. Yes.
You know what? I grew up in the city and then... You know, I grew up around Trump. I mean, I don't know him or anything, but I know people who have done business deals with him, and he's very, I don't even know. I mean, he's arrogant and he's a pig.
Person.
He's a whole bunch of things, but what he is very, very confident in his insecurity because when he knows he has something over you, you know, he can do whatever he wants to, and then it's about the control, you know?
It's manipulative. Charm when they think they have the edge. We're describing.
But I always thought he was a joker. I always thought he was a clown. But I'm going to tell you one story where I think that it shows his character, his true character, no matter what you think about him. And this is a true story. You know, his father was invited to the ceremony for the Verrazano Bridge, when that opened up, and Trump was 13 years old at that point, right? So they go there, and then, you know, all the politicians are shaking each other's hands and opening the bridge. Meanwhile, they all fought against it. All the politicians, he said, were taking credit for it. They all fought against it. And he sees this guy kind of sitting in the dark, and he goes and starts talking to him. It turns out that the guy is the one who built the bridge. He was a Swedish engineer. He built the bridge, you know, and no one talked to him. He said, I thought it was terrible that no one put him on stage. No one talked to him. No one, you know, listened to any of his words on what he thought about the bridge. Only these politicians. And Trump didn't think that was right. I think that is a gleaming part of his character. I think that deep down, you do have a guy who has a right and wrong. And I've seen interviews with him, like with Larry King, where he just laid things on the line, you know, not like running for president, not even being on TV at that point. He was just a shock jock wannabe, right? He wanted to be Howard Stern.
You know what the problem with that is? Because I can tell you, there's a reason the person that is so much like, almost exactly like Donald Trump, is my ex. Because deep down inside, they're really good people. They can be really loving and caring. But if you threaten that insecurity, it's night and day. Jekyll and Hyde. It's like, who the frick are you? We were getting married. Now I don't want to be around you at all. Like, go away.
Yeah, but you know what? Maybe you don't want that as a lover, but you want that as a president. You want someone who's going to stand up to people. I mean, we've had a doormat policy for so long.
No.
You know, and this dude, let me tell you something, what's going on now. ISIS is completely destroyed in Iraq. I mean, they're fragmented in Syria.
Before you go into that, y'all. So again, when I registered Republican, it's because Obama was, just like Mike said, a doormat, screwed up our country, and the first role of the president is foreign policy. And I will tell y'all, as much as I dislike Trump, I love his foreign policy. Yes, I love it.
And now, for the first time in history, you have China and Russia reigning in North Korea, and Trump did that, and no one's giving him credit.
Yes.
You know, China said that they will not tolerate nuclear weapons from North Korea. So did Russia yesterday. So, I mean, think about the power that is to take these people who looked at Obama like he was an idiot. You know, I mean, China treated him like dirt. China was getting whatever they wanted out of Obama. Obama was like, yeah, sure, no problem, you know. So, I mean, I don't even want to bitch about Obama because we know that it was a train wreck. And all the damage control that Trump has to do is part of that. But Trump's very real. Just with those terrorists in London, he's like, you know what? They knew they were there. They're on jihadi TV. They knew that they were there. You know, why don't you do something about it?
Weeks before, they knew.
I think that his frustrations is every person's frustration in this country, in the core. Maybe we don't like what he says, and maybe we don't like what he does, or whatever, you know, but I'll tell you something, he's strong in a lot of areas where we need strength, and then, good for bad, he's doing a job, right? The economy's getting stronger.
That's what a lot of people don't understand. In America, okay, so really, Republican, Democrat, doesn't actually matter. It's the person. Just like we saw Trump demolish the Republican Party, like we saw Bernie demolish the Democratic Party if they hadn't cheated him out of the nomination. But we had Bush. We had to get into the wars because, you know, 9/11, even if you believe it's a false flag, we had to do that. So then we got Obama. Make a change. Get some peace. So you had Bush, who was very foreign policy oriented. Then you had Obama, who sucked at foreign policy. Sucked so bad at foreign policy, but it was domestic policy oriented. And then we're like, yo, I don't care who's going into the bathroom where. Can you kill the people that'll kill all of us in the restaurant that we're fighting over bathrooms for? So then we're like, yo, Trump, right there. So we're reactionary, and that's part of the problem. We need to be proactive. And Hillary is the opposite of anything we needed, which a lot of people didn't understand.
I have to say, she wouldn't have been a terrible president, you know. She is calculating. She's cold. She would have stood up to Russia and all that, but she would have been making deals for herself.
Who
she would have been
hated
writing deals
her?
For the Clinton Foundation.
Yes, selfish.
Bill Clinton may be a sex offender, but he was a good president. You can't take that away from him. The 1994 crime bill was a big deal. He put 100,000 cops on the streets, man. And then he was knocked by a lot of these agencies, you know, who were like, well, it's racist to this and that. And you know, he was like, well, it's about crime.
I love how black people asked him to do that, and then when he put it in place, they were like, yo, you're locking up a lot of black people. Well, guess what? Yeah. You have a higher poverty rate due to the 40 years of oppression, but you still have a higher poverty rate, which means you also have a higher criminal rate, and you asked me to protect y'all, so I'm putting y'all in jail. And y'all asked me. And then we want to get back on him and then hold that against Hillary. Like, that one, nah, black people asked him for that one. Wife.
But how come nobody addresses the fact that black people are not at replacement numbers in the United States? That those numbers are falling and are not at replacement numbers in the U.S. Those numbers are falling and falling. And we've at seen a system.
You mean our
replacement?
Our percentage of the population?
Yeah, right. So
yeah.
You know what? When
yeah.
When we look at the, it's actually a planned genocide. And I used to hang out in Far Rockaway, which is a predominantly black area where I hung out anyway. And I saw it, and I saw the way people were treated, and I saw
their
relationship. Yeah. People were trapped.
Yeah.
They couldn't even get a bus out of there. The bus kind of just went around in a circle. So it was about, hey, pick up the welfare people, bring them to the welfare store, bring them back home again. And there wasn't any hope. Most of those kids didn't think they'd live past 19 or 20 years old.
My God,
so when people say, when people say we want to solve the gang problem, and then you know what, locking people up is one end, but preventing it to happen, like getting those kids and make it so they don't join gangs or get browbeaten. So you know, like Cuomo wants to put
prison industrial complex can't make money off that. What you talking?
Cuomo wants to put a state trooper in all these schools on Long Island that are bad. I'm like, what is one state trooper going to do to prevent those kids from grabbing those other kids and joining gangs?
Wait, they don't even understand. You said Long Island, where I was? You mean in every school in Suffolk, not Nassau, where the Hamptons are, where the rich people are, in Suffolk County. Yeah,
the Hamptons are in Suffolk. The Hamptons are in Suffolk County.
Wait. No. Because every time, hold on, no. Nassau, I thought... Don't give me West End. Which one is closer to New York City?
Nassau County is closer to New York City.
I lived in Nassau? Yes, I did live in Nassau. Yes, I did. My fault. I switched it up. My bad. Thank you, Mike. So, yeah. Put them all in, what was it, Suffolk County? Put them all where the rich people aren't. Put them in Nassau County.
You all know what happened. I remember what happened because I moved off of Long Island like 1 year ago, because things have gotten really bad because all these people from Central America were given like a freebie, and they were able, they went into all these different areas like Wyandanche and Central Islip and all these places that where
Don't
you get affordable housing. they're all on welfare. And then these guys were MS-13. All of a sudden you start seeing MS-13 spray painted all over the place. You know, even my friend in Huntington Station, he was like, we're across the street from him, MS-13, you know, so it was,
they got rid of that.
But you can't because
they got rid of the tag. It's still there. They at least got rid of the tags. Cause when I was there, I didn't see it.
It's so big. And then you get 18th Street Posse, right? You know, that's bigger than MS-13. You know, you got Latin Kings. You got so many different groups out there that are so powerful and so interwoven in society that to defeat them is not by putting one cop in a school. That will do nothing.
No,
absolutely,
exactly.
Positively nothing.
He's super liberal and he doesn't actually understand the problem. He doesn't understand how to solve it. Much like Obama didn't understand how to solve our foreign policy issues.
You know what the problem is? The problem is a simple answer. It's poverty. You know, and you start solving problems with poverty, you start solving problems with people wanting to join gangs because, you know, the one thing they get is a sense of family and community. The other thing they get is money. And then it's also power because you have a gang behind you, you know? So it's not going to be solved. It's not going to be solved. And then you have all these politicians talking all this crap. What's any of them doing about it? You know, they have no solutions, right?
So, Mike,
yeah,
systematically,
you know what? I was going to say, then Giuliani took over in New York City, right? And I had moved upstate. I had moved upstate already. So Giuliani took over the city, you know, as mayor. And, you know, big muckety muck has a lot of power. I never liked Rudolph Giuliani, really. You know, I think he's
a weak. I was young when I first went to New York. He was in power, and it was so much better. He did a lot of good things.
You can make that anything. You know, before 9/11, he was a villain. After 9/11, he was a hero. you know, I don't know what heroic stuff. I'm not going to knock them, though, you know, totally. But anyway, so there's those, you know, projects, which is planned housing, where they put people who are lower income or welfare people, right? And there's a lot of projects in Far Rockaway. You have one where they shoot at each other with machine guns all night long. The 40s projects, the cops say don't even stop at the red lights. And this is going on in America. And
you, as it used to.
And this is going on in America. But check this out. So I moved upstate for a while, and then it had been a few years since I wanted to go back to that area. I went down there to see a few people, and Giuliani had taken this fencing. It looks like a prison gate fence, you know, and put it all around all the housing that the city owned, everything. And the fencing, you know, the top hooks. The hooks were facing in, so people couldn't get out. And they put these huge locks, like these gates with locks. And then I'm like, I was blown away because it was surreal. It was like all this open land and open lots all of a sudden had this prison look. And how are those soldiers supposed to feel grown up with that prison feel, you know? And I think that people get conditioned. You lead them down a path, and those people are sheeple. They're going to just follow along. And then this is the destruction that we see in our country right now, because all these people are Americans. That. They're all Americans. Well, you know,
like
that?
You said earlier, when you're in those conditions, I mean, you're just trying to live. Like, this is what I explain to people all the time. So I come from a good family, but my mom did wrong. So I didn't grow up very well at all. You know, like, you have one meal a day. Thank you, state, if she fills out the one sheet to actually give you the meal. Anyway, so I didn't grow up right. So for the longest time, like, until she got shot, I had no concept of what happened after high school. I was like, and I was an honor student since fourth grade. Like, I was really good. I was a good kid, blah, blah, so I'm told, and all that kind of stuff. But I had no concept of future, of plan, of what comes after or anything. It's like, you're smart, you do what you're supposed to do, you come home, and it's like, all right, I'm going to go, like, play outside because I know I'm probably not going to get dinner. I'm just going to eat lunch. It's the only meal I get. I don't know what comes after. And a lot of people, especially my fellow Republicans, especially if they're conservative, they don't understand the mindset that you're in. It's like, when you're suffering and you're hungry, you just want to not suffer. But you don't always have the tools, especially the guidance, to know how to get out of that. You know, you see what you see, you experience what you experience, especially if it's something every single week bad going on. So a lot of these people, of a variety of races, you can say it's black, but it's white, Latinos, Asians, all everybody in that situation, you don't know. You can try.
It's poverty.
What you want. It's exactly. It's poverty. That's what it is. It's, you know, like, you're just trying to make it from day to day. Like, people who are in a good state, like, I'm upper middle class now. My family is upper middle class, but it's just like, unless you're yeah. But no, look that way.
Looking down on people, how dare you?
I didn't grow up that way. So the perspective now is like, all right, I make this money. I got a plan. I got to put this away. I got to do this. I got to invest here. Da da da. 401k, Roth IRA, insurance. Da da da. I'm like, but back then it's just like, oh my God, I have $20. I can get so much with $20 now. I can spend $20 in a second. I'm just like, meh.
Let me tell you something. You gotta look at it from the other angle, that the government dictates what class you are. It's not even your job, but yeah, you make a certain amount of money, you're gonna live in a nicer neighborhood, and that house that you're gonna pay, you know, thousands of bucks to the government tax wise, even though they don't really do much for you, but they're gonna charge you, you know. And if let's say your family trying hard, and you're at that level. You know, but the only thing keeping you back is that you can't pay $1,000 a month to the government in taxes. You just can't do it. You know, that's a lot of money, man.
Property taxes don't come every month. They come twice a year. But the fact is,
you're not listening. No, you're not listening to me. I'm talking about houses where it's 12. You're not listening to me. You're not listening to me. I'm talking about houses that is $12,000 a year. So I'm actually breaking it down for you, saying $1,000 a month. If you have to pay $1,000 a month,
yeah, actually,
if you have
actually,
to,
yeah, yeah,
If you have to pay $1,000 a month to the government, and then you can't pay $1,000 a month to the government, you're not living in that nice neighborhood. So it's the government telling you. So why should taxes be so high on properties, you know? Why should taxes be so high? And then it keeps people down in crap neighborhoods. Why are those neighborhoods crap neighborhoods, you know? I mean, I think that you need to think about all these concepts, you know? And then it's not the fact that the money is worth more, that, oh, yeah, these houses are $500,000, you know? It's that money is worth less. And if your housing is expensive, your society is basically living in poverty. We got the richest, poorest people anywhere here in America.
Yeah. Well,
you know, and now there's a movement to keep people home, that they don't want people out of the streets. They want everything to be, you know, okay, we'll bring things to you. Oh, yeah, we'll give some Amazon drones, all this stuff. Bring it to you, you know. Use the internet. Do your shopping. Have everything brought to you.
That's because they'll keep shopping no matter the conditions.
There's an air of more power and control. If you stand back and look at it, you can see the big picture. You can see the way things are going, you know. But it's the government, total control. But nobody really talks about that. I mean, the ones who do are kind of freaks. You know, you had that dude when he ran for president that the rent is too damn high. He's right. He's absolutely right. And it keeps people out of certain, you know, so, you know.
Here in D.C., they're gentrifying everything. So if your rent was $12,000, it's now $15,000 to $2,000. And if your property taxes were, you know, X, Y, and Z, it's now, you know, two-thirds higher. And so people are being pushed out to the different counties in Maryland so they can come in and continue to develop D.C. because, you know, it's a cycle of gentrification. But it's a matter of the fact that it's like, we're going to redevelop. We're going to push the poor people out. We're going to take this back because that's the trend now, because y'all want to be around all these certain things. Before, y'all wanted to be in the suburbs, so we made the suburbs expensive, and now y'all want to be in the city surrounded by all these comforts, so we're going to make that expensive. But it is a cycle of control that a lot of people don't look at. I mean, that's part of why I don't want to move back so bad, living in Arizona, but they're moving out to freaking Arizona now. Dude, Californians are moving to Arizona, and they're ruining my state. I love it so much. It was half the price for double the land because it was, quote-unquote, less valuable. I'm like, it's still land. I can get all the same things. I don't have all the same culture and stuff, but I can still live and be happy and do all these things, but it's half the price, huh? Okay.
Where?
Okay.
But fuck Idaho? Is that what you said?
Beautiful Arizona that is on the map, literally.
Oh, God, you know. Who the hell wants to be in Arizona? You know, people in Arizona, they're angry because it's so goddamn hot, and the Arabs in the desert wear like towels on their heads because it keeps the heat off, so it doesn't make them as crazy as the people in Arizona. The people in Arizona are crazy. John McCain. That's all I gotta say.
John McCain. Stop it.
See, so you should be in Arizona with the snakes, with the tumbleweeds, with the hot ass weather all year long, man. Basically.
Hey, Mike, can you give me this for a second? So I thought all of that as a Northeasterner, you know, D.C., New York was where I was, and a little bit of Atlanta, you know, all this humid crap. I was angry. And then I moved out to Arizona for work. I thought I was going to be miserable, but I was like, money, opportunity, yay. I went out there and I was like, oh, y'all said it was a dry heat. And you're right. I don't feel anything. It's nice. The sun is a kiss on my face. I look down. Oh, I'm sweating. Versus here, right now, in D.C., you walk out your door, and it's 95, and you look down. 5 minutes later, it's like, I need a shower. I'm drenched. This is disgusting. Everything is sticking to me. Arizona, it's 104, 110, and you look down. It's like, oh, I'm sweating. Let me flap a little bit. I'll dry out. It's beautiful in Arizona. It's
It's like sticking your head. It's like sticking your head in the oven. Please tell me that you weren't like a mule. Like you didn't like smuggle illegals over the border like for a job.
I was in Phoenix. I've
seen that advertised on Craigslist. That's why I asked.
That's Tucson. That's down by the border. I was in Phoenix. No, it was beautiful. It was great. I loved it so much. Mountains, cacti, and palm trees. Not spiky cacti. There are different versions of cacti, which a lot of people don't know. Nobody knows anything until they live there, not visit.
You can go there and open up your own bank called Jesus Saves, right? And then people are like, you know, man, Jesus saves, you know, kind of like, I'm going to put my deposit in, I'm going to feel good about it. It's Jesus, and he saves a lot of money.
No.
How's that?
Unfortunately, that's not what I wish. I wish people were.
In Scottsdale.
Whatever to Scottsdale.
Right in the middle of Scottsdale.
Whatever to Paradise Valley, whatever to Scottsdale, and half whatever to Tempe. Okay? The most affluent areas, whatever to those areas.
You could be the new sheriff. You could be sheriff, like replace Arpaio there. You can smack some ass.
So Joe Arpaio, like, y'all can say whatever you want about him. I don't agree with what he did with the Latinos, but I have to because all the Sanctuary City crap. Anyway, he was what a sheriff was supposed to be. Because when you went into Maricopa County, I love to speed. Out driving in Arizona is freaking beautiful. Decorated, open highways, four lanes, nothing like the traffic here in LA, DC, New York, nothing.
How fast were you going, man? How did you head in? Like, when I drove out to Arizona,
you go seven.
When I drove to Arizona, I went to Flagstaff, so I was kind of headed towards Flagstaff.
3 hours in Phoenix, and okay. 2 to 3 hours, okay.
Yeah, it's open, open land, man.
Flagstaff, there's nothing.
Flagstaff is crazy. You know why it's crazy? Because you see the mountain, and you're on the road for 8 hours before you get there. It's like this.
You see the mountains everywhere you go in Phoenix in the valley. I love it so much. It's so beautiful. You know what's torture?
It's so big.
You're on a road trip, and you're looking at this mountain. You're like, all right, we'll get there. 8 hours later, you haven't reached the mountain. That's what's crazy. That was actually in Nevada.
I know. It's wild.
It's a little crazy. It is. I mean, but to get out of Phoenix, you got to go through the mountain range. So what you're talking about is actually another set of mountains. But anyway, Flagstaff, for everyone listening, if you've heard of the Grand Canyon, Flagstaff is like an hour away from the Grand Canyon. It's a tourist trap.
45 minutes.
An hour.
You drive. I had a black Trans Am, man, so we might be different on the road. You know what I mean?
I ain't talking about that. I'm just going to round it up for the folks. Just say an hour. So it's right by the Grand Canyon. But, yeah.
If you drive like a little old lady.
Boy.
If you drive like Lily, that's the way you drive. I can see you like little old lady driving down the road. Like, chitty, chitty, bang, bang, man. And then, like, you pass them. Yo, who was that? Well, that was Lily, man. Well, I'll be there in an hour. But, Lily, we're already here.
So, Mike, let me tell you something. Earlier,
you're missing cocktail hour by the Grand Canyon.
Dude. So, Mike, I was going to say earlier, because you were saying stuff like, I love you so much. But I can't because you don't know me. Boy. You know, you're going to make fun of me.
Are you a lead foot? Yes. You smack some ass on the highway, don't you?
Oh, my God. I was going 90. In a freaking Prius. I was going 90 in the mountains.
Were you an Al Gore the third? Because
shut up, that Prius saved my ass. Shut up.
He got nailed going over 100.
The Prius saved me and it accelerated on the time and I was going 90 through the mountains. I had 9 miles per battery left.
Because no cop will ever pull a Prius over because they don't think it could go 90. That's the thing. It's psychological, man.
One time I saw a cop on the highway, I was actually in an Impala out there. But, you know, it's also the Wild Wild West still. I love it so much out there.
You were in what?
It's a Wild Wild West out there still outside of California because screw that.
Did you say Impala?
Yeah, that twitchy, annoying car. It was so twitchy. I hated that car. But, yeah, that's when I was rolling up.
It's a very big car in the barrier, Impala. People love that Chevy Impala, man.
It was annoying. I didn't like it. It was too twitchy. You twitch an inch on the steering wheel, and it's like, ouch! So, no.
Did it have hydraulics? Did it bounce up and down? Like, you didn't see the guys bouncing their car?
It was a rental car.
It was a rental car.
All of my cars
I had a Ford Clitoris rental car. What's that?
Clitoris?
I said Taurus. I didn't say clitoris.
Yes,
I said,
let's play it back, Joe. Play it back.
You said clitoris. I was channeling you. I was channeling you, and then clitoris came out.
Oh, what you need to play. Family friendly show. Anyway. Much love.
You were talking about being twitchy. Your Impala was twitchy, and I thought, hey, if I had a Ford, I had a Ford clitoris. I had a Hummer Cummer, too.
You know? You just said it again.
Said it?
Oh, that movie. I'm not, nobody.
I didn't see it.
Anyway.
A moron says what?
We were supposed to talk about news. So you see that stuff going on in Chicago? I hope.
Chicago, 500. Over 500 killings, man, in Chicago.
500, though? Not talking about that. Not talking about general.
Oh.
By the way, Joe, I love Christina, but I hope she doesn't have a show after us because I actually want to stay on with Mike since he never answers the phone. You don't want to answer the phone. How are we supposed to make
I hate talking to people.
You won't talk on the phone, man. You need to come on.
I only talk on the radio. Otherwise, I don't talk to anybody.
So exactly. That's the problem. We have a problem. We would have been so much farther ahead in this beautiful relationship we could have, but you don't talk on the phone.
We're already talking about Jesus and smacking some ass. I think that's the next step to kind of, yahoo, you know.
It's not enough. I require so much attention.
Oh, man. I get one of those robots for you. some AI.
Robot, I need you, Mike. I need you. You're not around.
Super powerful with a year's worth of WD-40. You're ready, man.
Ew. Well, for the machine? I need you, Mike.
Everybody anyway, does. That's why I cloned myself, believe it or not. And we're going to take over the world.
Slut. Stop being a slut. Come back. You don't need all these different women. All the ones posting on your Facebook every time you're like, oh, this survey said that I would be married. Screw them other ladies. You don't need them. You just need one. This one. Why, Mike? Why do you keep cheating on me with your Facebook friends?
I know.
Boyfriend number one. Why? You're number one. Do you want to be number two?
Crazy women love me. I know. It's messed up. It's a badge of courage.
Yeah,
I walk past the insane asylum. They're like jumping out the window for me. Ooh, it's him. That's right, baby.
Crazy things with the crazy ones. They can be fun.
Eating Fruit Loops on your front lawn. That's right.
Boy.
Crazy.
One thing, all Fruit Loops taste the same.
Oh, man. See? I told you. Crazy.
I am crazy.
You know, I'm sane enough to know I'm crazy.
I'm crazy enough to get along with you. Bam.
You're saying there's no difference between no frills and like Kellogg's or whoever makes Fruit Loops. There's no difference.
And the taste between the colors? No, they're all the same. They're just artificially.
I've had no frills Apple Jacks, man, and no frills Apple Jacks do not taste like real Apple Jacks. You know, you only tell kids that because it's the crap end of the stick because they got to eat no frills Apple Jacks. And then you put it in a real Fruit Loop box. They know. They know. Those kids ain't stupid. They know there's no frills Fruit Loops. No frills. They know. You know what I mean? You give them those sneakers and the little Nike label falls off and it says Charlie Wong Shoe Factory. They know. They got there from China. They know.
You know what? You know what those kids don't know? It's that Nikes and Skechers and Adidas are all made in the same sweatshop factory, mother lover. Shut up and put on the shoes.
That's right. those Chinese people need a job. Buy those shoes, man. Thank God they copy everything.
God, they have no respect for our copyright laws in China. They have no respect for it. I could get Photoshop, not C7, because that's old. I could get Photoshop in a second from China. They don't care. I could get the rip-off iPhone in a second. But Samsung's in Korea. Oh, no. Oh, you didn't see it. I don't know if you saw it or not. But did you see this beautiful picture that's going around talking about they're comparing the iPhone 10 to the Samsung 6. The Samsung 6. Not the S8 Plus, like I'm flipping on right here with my beautiful self, my Samsung 8 Plus. No, it's the iPhone 10 versus Samsung 6. And the specs, it's sad. Two phones ago, 2 years ago, we had all the features and better than what iPhone is getting right now and charging y'all $1,000 for it. My S8 is $900. And I'm 2 years ahead of y'all, plus, two plus. Years ahead,
I bought
probably
the
three because it's a plus. No.
I bought the Chinese knockoff, the HTE, under $70. And I buy one every year, man. So it has all the features, big giant screen. It works. The speakers sound good. It does everything I need to do. So what do people need to spend a lot on cell phones?
Will
and you know what I noticed with Apple phones? Apple phone screens break all the time. I have yet to break a cell phone screen from dropping it a million times. But I know, like, you know, even if you look at the Apple screen the wrong way, that thing smashes.
Samsung screen will break too. I was so mad. The actual reason I have an S8 Plus rather than my S7 that I waited 2 years to have is because I dropped it literally a foot off. After dropping it like 20 billion times, I dropped it a month before the S8 came out from my couch, a foot off the ground, and the screen with the on-screen button, not on-screen button, the button, it cracked right from there.
Oh, man.
I didn't have a screen protector on it. And it went... So now I got my S8 Plus, got the screen protector, got multiple actually, because I just broke a screen protector because I was cleaning out all my ridiculous amount of electronics and kind of like haphazardly slapped one on it, like tossed it down and it broke it. Not my phone, screen protector. But yeah, I mean,
yeah.
We would have to compare the actual performance of your phone to mine, because if I didn't look hard, I was like, what are you doing with the Samsung? I looked hard at the different comparisons and performance of all the different phones. And honestly, my Samsung 8, not my Plus, but the Samsung 8 itself actually won for a lot of these things. Pixel, iPhone, knockoffs, it actually won. So, meh.
$1,000 for a phone to me is like...
I don't pay $1,000 on my phone.
Like 12 years worth of like phones. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. If you buy one every year, you know, it doesn't really matter, I guess, as long as it works, right?
I buy one every 2 years, but you buy it every year. Honestly, for someone like my mom, who I just bought her a phone and the next day she messed it up, someone who has to buy a phone every 3 months, screw y'all. You get a $100 phone max. Me? I'm going to keep my phone as long as I feel like it, and I'm going to pay it off. And if I feel like upgrading to the next greatest, I'll do that. Because I take care of my phone. I really care about it, and I use it all the time, including for work.
You know, you can't be attached to a device. If that device goes, you got to say goodbye to this thing.
The device gives me money.
So it's like an ATM machine.
Kind of. Yeah. My NRC is
don't be stressed out. You know what? You're a millennial, man. See, I'm old. The problems that affect me are different from the problems that affect you, you know? I've already been there and done that, but I didn't have that problem. You know what? When I was your age, we had beepers, you know? And then you can shut the thing off and not even think about it. Stupid beeper going off.
Oh, the beeper?
It's called a beeper.
I know what it is, Mike. I ain't that old. Y'all get on millennials all the time.
It's a sexual device. It's got a bunny rabbit on it.
Christina said, get off and let her come on.
Can we join these? Can we have like 10-minute overlap with my boo?
I was telling her about my beeper.
I know about beepers. Can I have girlfriend one and only and boyfriend?
Oh, I bet you know about beepers. I know you know about beepers.
Has done more for me than men has done in a long time. Anyway, what?
We talked about beepers.
Are we still in air? Joe came in. Are we still live, Joe? You came in for a second.
You ain't live no more.
You didn't let us like sign off.
That's because I couldn't get y'all to shut up.
You didn't even try.
I did. I texted you 100 times. Christina texted you.
People think the FCC yanked.
She's in the queue with you.
I'm looking at my that's Skype. I'm looking at my phone right now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you.
Hey, baby. Hey. Cut in or something. Hey. Oh, my God. Oh, I'm so sorry. That was Skype. You gotta text me, baby. Oh, wait. You have my new number. I tried to text. That was wrong. But Joe could have texted me. He did.
Exactly. He's telling me to cut in.
Joe's on so many drugs, he's lucky he knows where his phone's at, much less can type. I shouldn't even be talking.
And try to call my guest before you get to...
You got to send me the info in the thing. That's what I just told you.
I've already sent it to your email four hours ago.
I just told you that email won't open. None of y'all good about reading out the text.
Mike, you have to call me more often, because that was a fun conversation.
Who, me?
Call a sister. Call a girl.
We'll do more shows, man.
Called me.
Lord.
Yeah,
Lord.
For some reason,
yeah. He didn't end. He didn't end it with a. He didn't end with a prayer.
Exactly. That I was literally teasing me and you, Mike. I was literally about to say, Christina, can I end with a prayer and you can start your show? I really need to do it.
Right now, I'm not in for any prayers. I'm in a pissed off.
Hi, Mr. Lane. It's Anne. I got my first paycheck today. I can't believe I'm getting paid to do what I love. I'm using what I learned in class at Virginia College every day. You were right. The hard work, it paid off.
Your passion. Together, we make it happen. Virginia College. Off Pops Ferry and Cedar Lake Road. Prepare for jobs in healthcare, computer technology, and more. Learn more at vc.edu.